Brought to you by Big Comedy Network.
Pillow fight.
Is yours made of goose?
We got feathers flying everywhere.
Mine's made of goose.
Pillow fight.
This is so fun.
We're pillow fighting.
Why is it so fun?
Pillow fight.
Today on Pillow Fight, I'm joined by Harper Rose Drummond, an LA-based stand-up comedian who performs all across the country and co-hosts the Clowncast podcast. You can find more of her on Twitter and Instagram at HarperRoseD. In this episode, we discuss spreading our seed, going to space for 10 whole minutes, and how Chrissy Teigen is probably driving John Legend absolutely mad right now.
Fuck.
Mary?
Kill. Fuck, Mary, kill.
So, for the Fuck, Mary, kill, the first one, it's getting really brutal out here with the Delta variant and COVID cases rising. And recently, Olivia Rodrigo teamed up with Biden and Fauci to encourage young people to get vaccinated. According to Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, Rodrigo reached out to the White House all on her own volition, and the White House is hoping that her visit and her pro-vaccine content will raise the percentage of vaccinated young adults in the U.S. Number two, Prince Harry has been secretly working on a book about his life in the royal family for nearly a year and has just now sold it to Penguin Random House. The news just broke. And when the news broke, it came as a shock to everyone in the royal family who were not aware of this plan to write the book. And they are very critical of Harry's move and question his intentions behind it and worry that it could be like a huge nightmare for them. The book is set to release in late 2022. And then number three, Nick Cannon, who has had 4 kids with 3 women in the past year and 7 children altogether, told an interviewer this week that none of them were accidents. YOLO, he said. He doesn't generally use condoms, and there have been additional times when he wanted to get women pregnant but didn't. So 7 is not as many times as he's tried. So Olivia Rodrigo at the White House, Harry's tell-all, and Nick Cannon just wanting to spread his seed. Fuck, Mary, kill. What would you do?
Okay, I'm killing the breeder right off the bat because that's just too much breeding, and I can't. This is hard. I guess I would have to, marry the vaccine pop star, just because I feel like that's like good branding, mm-hmm. And I really love her music. And then what's left? Wait.
Prince Harry.
God damn it. I guess I'm fucking Prince Harry. His book deal. Yeah.
Yeah. I would also fuck Prince Harry's book deal because I think it's really, one second, I'm like caught up in this microphone cord. I think that telling off people who wronged you is very sexy. And I think that, I hope that Meghan and Harry have many more sexy telling off the royal moments in the future. And I think it would be just fun. Like, I don't want to get caught up in that drama. I don't want to marry that situation. That's too much, far too much, but.
No, it's too much. Also, it's like, I don't want to kill that because it's like, I still want the gossip to come out.
Yeah. I want to like have a one night experience with that situation, have to sign an NDA and like break it to my closest friends.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's the relationship I want with that. And
because
then
you know, you could get more drama too, like mm-hmm. after y'all. Yeah.
And there's going to be a season of The Crown that's just all about this too, eventually.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that there's a lot coming, and I will read this book or like read the, you know, the literature review summaries of the book because I'm very curious.
Yes. I'm a sucker for an expose.
Me too. And it's like, just, I think doing it in a book, it's really classy to me because everyone just does it on Twitter threads now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's like, it's like a vintage expose, and I'm very excited for it because he went on Oprah and that was like a little bit of an expose, but I feel like we're going to get the real juice in this book. So yeah, exactly. I thought that situation. I would also kill the Nick Cannon situation because I don't want to be involved in that. I do not want to have 7 children. or to be inseminated by Nick Cannon. That's no. just not for me. Not the right time, not the right guy. I don't, you know, if his baby with me is just a YOLO, then I don't want it.
No, yeah, because here's the thing. It's like, this man is clearly breeding his own wolf pack, his own army. And it's mm-hmm. like, I have other plans for my child. You know, I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I don't think that I would have much say in the situation, really. I think it would be like, I'm curious if like anyone's ever like gotten an abortion or had a baby from Nick Cannon and didn't tell him that it was his. Or something, or if there's like,
interesting. Yeah, because I mean, from that quote that you just read about how he's like, oh, I wish I had more or whatever.
Yeah,
it sounds like he's like kind of keeping tabs on all these girls.
Yeah,
that's so another probably, thing. I don't want that.
Yeah, he's like following them. Like, if there's a kid, it's like, is it me?
Yeah.
yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. I think this idea of. Also, Nick Cannon is not the person to be spreading his seed. He's like not cool or interesting to me. He was like, wasn't he canceled recently also for something? Like, was it anti-Semitic?
I think it was that.
Yeah.
I don't remember what exactly it was, but I was like, yeah, I was like seeing headlines of like Nick Cannon to be kicked off of whatever. And I'm like, oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, I feel like every show he does ends up getting canceled, no?
Yes, or he gets ousted as the host. Like, I think he's a kiss of death, and I think that I think that it's not good for kids. Like, I think these kids deserve more, and I think that I'm sounding like a eugenicist saying this, but I don't think we need that much of Nick Cannon seed everywhere.
No, I think I agree with you. It's giving me kind of Genghis Khan vibes, and also maybe this is too far, but you know what? I'm going to throw it out. I don't really want Mariah Carey's scraps. It's like, if she doesn't want you, then, you know.
Yeah. I'm not being sloppy seconds to Mariah
Carey. No, not to Mariah. Like, oh my Lord.
I already like fucked up singing Obsessed in the seventh grade choir concert. I'm not going to like mess up something else she did again. So no, just the one time.
Well played.
Just the one time. Yeah. And then I would also marry the Olivia Rodrigo going to the White House thing, because it's like the most mainstream of things all together in one, like President Joe Biden and Olivia Rodrigo, who's currently like the biggest Gen Z it thing, is just so, it's just perfect. It's good press, it's good publicity. It's helping the world, I guess.
Helping the world. Think about the songs that are going to get written about you. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it's going to be good.
You know, we could. I would marry that. Honestly, I've been seeing a lot of like influencers partnering with the White House too. Like, I don't know if you follow. So Billie Eilish's brother's girlfriend is an influencer. She also looks just like Billie Eilish. That's the whole thing. But
okay, wait, does she really?
I think so.
Oh my God. Okay, I'll have to look it up. I really have a weird thing with guys that date people that look exactly either like their sisters or their mothers.
Their moms.
I dated a guy who did that to me. I like met his family. I'm like, oh my God, I am your mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of couples that look like that. It's very scary. But like, this girl looks like a brunette Billie Eilish and just like older.
Oh, interesting. Like
there's pictures of the two of them together at like the Grammys red carpet, and it looks like they're sisters. So like they look more alike than he looks like Billie Eilish. So
that is a unique type of darkness.
Yeah. But I've always liked her. She was like a beauty guru when I was in like the sixth grade. And she also recently had a little Instagram live with Fauci, and I'm kind of loving this. Like, it's just the fact that the like pop culture influencer world is teaming up with, you know, the CDC is just like, is just such, so like symbolic of the times that we're in. And I just think, like, keep it coming. It's fun to see. I'm like, I think this actually will actually make a difference, because I feel like people trust these people more than they trust the government. So
it's so interesting. I completely agree with you. I also feel like there's like a really interesting, like, I don't know if you'd call it like a metamorphosis or maybe a revolution of pop culture happening right now, because ever since TikTok is completely changing it. Mm-hmm. And like also YouTube is way more popular than it was when it first came out. Yeah. And so yeah, you're having these YouTubers and these TikTokers being like, all right, my day with Joe B. And you're like, oh, what? But I mean, people are like listening and watching it. But I feel like back in like the 90s, it was before that, it was, you know, like proper celebrities, like movie stars and whatnot. And now it's like, okay, stick to the script and work with the TikTokers. Come on in.
Yeah.
Or influencers.
It's like Bryce Hall meeting with like senators. I'm just imagining that. And that's like the direction we're going in. You know, Addison Rae is going to like have some sort of, one of these people is going to like run for office.
Addison Rae, I'm already calling it now. I'm pretty sure, or is it either Addison or like those like little like Charlie girls, like the little
D'Amelios, the D'Amelios.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like, because their dad is like a Republican something, but I feel like they're going to run for office, or Addison, like one of those little girls are going to run.
Yeah. Well, the older D'Amelio was caught with pictures of her room having Trump flags, and Charlie said she didn't like him and doesn't stand by him. So,
but Charlie is also, I feel like, a better, even though she's younger, I feel like she has a better business mind.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that she's more of a people pleaser also than Dixie, which, you know, I guess that's a good thing in this case. But I mean, like, I knew that like comedians often got involved in a lot of like political stuff. Like there were that ad where like people all took their shirts off to tell people to vote. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
When it's like, I just remember Sarah Silverman's boobs and people telling me to vote. And I just—
Chelsea Handler also always has her tits out like promoting voting, or like read this book, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, like a communist book. I'm like, okay, girl, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works, but yeah. I'm just curious to see what other influencers and micro influencers and pop stars and Gen Z people are gonna be like. I'm ready for JoJo Siwa at the White House.
Yes, with her gay agenda. Let's get it, girl.
Yeah, JoJo Siwa should be like the— in the cabinet, they should have like a department of like fun queer affairs, and JoJo Siwa should run it.
Yeah,
I think that would change.
I mean, like mix up the decor in the house, because that house is looking very tired on the inside.
Mm-hmm. There'd be glitter. It would look like the inside of Limited 2. Remember that?
Yes. Store? Oh my god. Okay. Wait. Did you ever like Limited 2?
Oh yeah, I loved Limited 2.
I was obsessed. I was like bedazzled the fuck out. And I remember showing up for like, and you know, like everyone was wearing it. I'm like, this is how I'm going to be cool. And like, they were still like, no, you're not. I'm like, okay. But then I was like the first day of like seventh grade or something. I like walk up to school, we're like head to toe in Limited 2. And I'm like, I look fucking dope. And I guess everyone sent a memo around that no one was wearing Limited 2 anymore. And no one had anything bedazzled. And I walked, and I was like, okay, what the fuck's up with that? But I had a whole wardrobe. Like, my mom wasn't going to go buy me a whole new thing. She's like, these rhinestones. I was like, all right. So I was sparkling that whole year.
When Limited 2 rebranded to Justice, I stopped liking it, because that was a little less like a unicorn threw up and more just like fun girl happy. But I liked the kind of crazy energy of Limited 2. Like, it was a little bit unhinged.
It was kind of manic. It was kind of like a little kid breakdown. And I really, really identified with that fashion at the time. I'm like, yes, girl.
This is reminding me of one of my first day of school outfits. I think it was like the fifth or sixth grade. And it was, I was wearing like a purple, it was like a button-up flannel sort of color. So it was like checkered purple, but it had like little silver kind of like flecks on it. So it was like kind of sparkly. And it had that thing where like at the waist, you could tighten it.
Yes.
So So it was like that. And then I wore on top of it a little vest that was bedazzled and another black bedazzled belt and a headband that had a giant black flower on it.
Oh, of course. Cause everything has to tie in. Everything mm-hmm. has to tie in.
And I remember going to school and my mom was like, you're in a school, not a fashion show. And I was like, life is a fashion show. And I remember thinking that I was like the most stylish person in the world. Yeah.
Well, honestly, that outfit does sound like it. My parents would be like, it's not a fashion show. Okay. Well, how about you come to school and you see what's up?
Yeah. I think, why can't it be a fashion show?
Exactly.
Would you rather, let's play a game of would you rather.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So on the day we're recording this, Jeff Bezos' historic space trip took place. And I didn't really keep up with what was going on that much, like going into it, but I did not realize it was going to be a 10-minute long trip. I think it's cool to go to space, but I don't know if I would do it for 10 minutes. And Jeff Bezos did call it the best day ever. And when you have that much money, I'm sure you can make any day the best day ever if you wanted. So it seems like it was a big deal. Would you rather go to space for 10 minutes or to a tropical destination of your choice for 10 hours?
I'm going to go tropical for 10 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I don't really understand I thought like they were going to like go walk on the moon. Like truly, I don't see what's the fun of just getting in a space suit and going up in space and then coming right back down.
Honestly, yeah, I'm like, if you want to go up to space, stay there. Get out, get away from me. Like I think it was either on TikTok or on Twitter, but someone said when the billionaires like get back from their space adventure, let's pretend like we don't know who they are. And I'm like, I love that energy. I agree. I thought they were going to go up. Like, that's why I thought it was such a big deal. But then like mm-hmm. just going up, hanging out for a hot second, then coming back. Bye.
Yeah. I saw someone tweet something that said Jeff Bezos did what an animal that licks its own ass did like decades ago, because they've truly not done anything, and I don't know what the point of this was, and I'm curious what
I don't really know either.
What's Elon's next thing gonna be? Here is it gonna be better than what Bezos has just done?
Yeah, right, because it's like Richard Branson, and then Bezos just did it, and then I guess Elon is doing it too.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure. Yeah, I don't really understand. I think they all were just trying to. I think they were all just trying to go to space, but I really thought it was going to be something more groundbreaking and more impressive.
What this feels like is the billionaire equivalent of like 2 summers ago when electric scooters just like popped up in LA and everyone rode them like crazy. And then people were like, okay, we're over it now. And now they're all gone. That's how it kind of feels.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought they were going to like go build a second home, a fifth home, whatever, on there's no taxes on the moon.
Exactly. I think it would be way cooler if, did you ever see the movie? This is a bit of a throwback, but Xenon or whatever.
No,
it's like, it was like some Disney movie. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, basically it's about this like little girl that lives on like a space colony. And so I thought they were going up there to like start building that. And I'm like, okay, go have fun. Mm-hmm. Bring Grimes too. Like, I don't care which one of y'all's going, but she's getting too crazy down here. So. You know, whatever. But then I still am like very baffled with, all right, I just went up there, okay,
yeah,
then why are you making it our problem?
Yeah. And did you see someone paid so much money to go and then on the auction and then decided like, sorry, I have something that day, and then didn't get his money back? Like, why would you pay that much? Like, what could you possibly have today that would stop you from
a death in the family or something, like maybe like a family matter? Or you want to know what I think? I think he didn't have anything. I think he got scared, and so he made something up.
I think that's probably fair. Yeah,
because a lot of these rich boys are cowards, and that's something that we actually need to talk about. Like a lot of these like tech bros, that's why they're making all this scary ass shit, because like they're just like little, like, you know,
yeah,
nerds. secrets. And so they're trying to like use like their brain to overpower us. And we got to watch out for that.
The revenge of the nerds, it looks like. But I feel like sometimes also they're operating under like evil bosses and they just don't really know what they're doing for them.
That's true.
And so there's like a whole, there's like two kinds of tech bro, I think. And it's, you know what I think is insane is how did acid go from, or how did San Francisco go from like being this like hippie acid place to now this like tech bro space where they microdose?
Like, I have no idea. That baffles me.
Because it's just an insane transition. I think it's kind of because I know like one of the guys who was jailed for what's the word for proliferating? Is that the word? For distributing acid. He went to jail, and then in jail he got a PhD in like computers and then started working for Microsoft because he was just like so smart and like that was whatever. And that I get, like when you first get computers and now you're understanding this thing, but now to be like developing some sort of weird like tracking device for people's, I don't know, whatever. I can't even conceptualize what they're doing out there. Is just such an insane realization of that.
It's so bizarre, especially, yeah, because San Francisco used to be like, it was all about like peace and love, a very, very hippie-ish. And mm-hmm. then, you know, acid's running wild there. And then now, did you see The Social Dilemma?
I did.
Okay. Well, you know, they're talking about how like they're designing these apps purposely to be like addictive, and about how like they're like able to like trace our eye line like with the camera and all the, and like all these like super wealthy successful people are like starting to like do like mind control on us, and we're yeah. all just like and I'm like, oh my god, like it's a huge culture shock.
It was really insane. And also after watching that, I remember I like put screen time notifications on and was like trying to limit my use, but then after like 2 weeks I just kind of kept going. It's, you know, we're just
same girl. I literally, yeah, I did the exact same. I did it while I was watching. I'm like, you're not going to control me, bitch. And then I put them all on. I am very much still locked into the screen. But so now it'll just like, it'll, you know, my little timer will go off. I'm like, oh, you're locked out. And I'm like, just like, for 5 more minutes, just for 15 more minutes. And then I'm like, okay. What
am I doing? Yeah, same. I have like all my apps set to do that. Like it's bedtime at 12:30. But sometimes I'll just be like, it's just, at a certain point, I'm like, stop telling me what to do, even though it was myself, but it's always telling me what to do. Always telling me what to do. I felt that way about, I used to really be an Apple Watch wearer and I had to free myself. I couldn't do it. Getting every single notification in real time like that was just, it was ruining my peace of mind.
Too much.
Yeah. But
we're not meant to be that plugged in.
Yeah, we're not, but we are. So
yeah.
The second would you rather. So Kanye West is about to drop his 10th album, Donda, which people say is rumored to contain lyrics about the hardships in his relationship with Kim Kardashian. There's a rumor that he compared living with her to prison. However, his team told the press that his album won't contain anything disparaging about her, but they will tell stories about their relationship. I don't know if you would rather break up with an artist and have them not create anything about you, or create a lot of content about you, but it's all negative.
I think this is because I'm psychotic, but I would rather have them create content even if it's negative.
Me too. Me too.
Because the ego wants. What can I say? I need it.
It's fan behavior, you know? And I think it's like, you know, all press is good press. The person who's doing that probably won't look so hot talking all that shit. So it's like, I'm bound to come out of it looking at least as good as them, I feel. So.
But also I feel bad for like, I mean, I hope he doesn't say anything to me just because of like, they have all those kids. And so I would feel like really bad if,
yeah,
you know, the children, you know, were like listening.
Something crazy. I think that I might have a little bit of psychic in me. This is truly just a coincidence, but I'll tell you because it's crazy. The
Okay, tell me.
I had been thinking for a while. I was like, I think that Kim and Kanye are going to get a divorce. Like, it feels like it's headed in that direction. And then the day of the announcement, that morning I was working out and I was thinking to myself, like, Twitter's going to be up at, like, there's going to be so many insane tweets about this when they finally do get a divorce. And I thought about tweeting that, and then I didn't tweet that. And then the announcement came, but I knew it was, it just happened that day.
You had a strong feeling.
Yeah. It was just in my gut that it was happening, and it happened that day. But it actually makes me kind of, it makes me sad, this whole situation. I want the best for them. I want them to, their kids to be happy. Their kids are all very cute, and I don't want them to suffer.
Very cute.
Yeah.
You know who I'm worried about? Like, I think that that's sad, but they seem to, I mean, at least from like what we can, like, you know, speculate from the, like, from the little morsels of gossip we can, I feel like they're going to be okay. Who I'm worried about though is Chloe. That girl needs like a therapist.
A lot.
A life coach, maybe. I'm not sure.
When Chloe like first had her whole thing where she's like, I'm getting healthy, I'm getting fit, and like buckled down, and then like was in some fitness magazine, I remember it being like, oh, like, great, good for you, like, you put your mind to something and you did it the healthy way, and, you know, great. And now I'm like, it's so clear she's having like severe, you know, like body dysmorphia and image issues. And I'm like, this is an insane thing to happen all while you're having, you know, a public breakup and a child with that person. And he supposedly cheated on you with your other sister's best friend, and insane.
And then cheated on her again after they got back after that. Like, I know they were trying to make it work for the kid, but something I think people need to realize is like, the kid just wants to like have like, you know, loving parents. Like, if you guys are divorced and you're not fighting, that's fine. Or not even divorced, like separated.
Yeah.
The kid's going to be fine. But it's like when you guys are like forcing it together and then you guys are arguing and there's all this tension, like, yeah, you guys are together. Sub talking about my parents, but it's like you guys are fighting. So it's like, up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think also they just had the baby. It's not like this baby is like a few years old and this will be like a developmental like trauma for them. If you just didn't be together, like, that would be all the kid knew. So they wouldn't ever know anything different. And so it wouldn't be weird that you weren't together. So
exactly. So also, like, I don't remember anything from being three.
Yeah.
Do you?
No. I remember like my first memory, I think, was when I was three, but it was like late into the year three. I don't remember being, you know, any younger than that.
Yeah.
But
a little too flurry.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I am worried about her. Like, all those pictures she wanted scrubbed from the internet. I was like, you look great.
Oh my God. I know, that was insane. I had no idea you could even like Facetune a video either. Like, that was wild. I think that was like Kim's thing, but with like, yeah, with that picture, she looks completely fine. She looked great.
Yeah. And every single photo she posts of herself, that looks like an AI bot.
Yes.
She looks like Lil Michaela in her Instagram grid.
Yes.
It's concerning. But
no, she looks like, oh my God, did you see that, like, some AI thing? I think it was for Netflix. Yeah. I saw Niles post it, but
the comedy special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I feel like everyone's bodies are going to like start to look like, because everyone wants it like completely smooth, like pulled back. It's giving me like robotic lizard is what it's giving.
Oh yeah. Robotic lizard for sure. Have you read that? I think it was a New Yorker piece on the Instagram face.
No. What was that? Okay.
Well, it was just about like how Instagram is like changing beauty norms into how everyone should have like these cat eyes, these like high jawbones, and these like giant lips, and how nobody is born with like all of those features really at once. And it's like an insane thing that as it goes further and further, like, people are just going to start looking crazier because we believe that that's what's beautiful, because that's what the trend is going in that direction. And it's truly, some people I'm like, that is not your face, but
no,
you know, whatever makes you happy, I guess, like, do what you want. But the fact that Khloe Kardashian, someone as beautiful and famous as Khloe Kardashian, is thinking these things, it's like so sad.
It's sad, but also I understand it because her mom growing up, like on that, I used to, that show used to be like my guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. And in high school, I'd always watch it. And like the mom was so open about loving Kim the most. And so I'm sure that like the rest of them like all got like weird little complexes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's definitely true. And I also think that people always called Khloe like the less attractive one and speculated if her dad was even the same, and there was all this stuff. So I think she has like an insecurity about being like the inferior one. But I think now people think she's so, like, people really like her now. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's crazy. But
I know.
Speaking,
what do you think about everyone getting, oh, sorry.
No, you go on.
Okay. I was going to say, what do you think about the new like BBL craze right now?
I think it's like an interesting, that like every so often there's like a new plastic surgery that becomes a trend, or like not plastic surgery necessarily, but some sort of,
physical altercation,
like fillers or like it was really lips for a second and then boob jobs at some point. I mean, those are always going on, but
yeah, like 90s and early 2000s it was titties. Mm-hmm. And then it was like lips and Botox and yeah, whatever, and getting that lizard face. Mm-hmm. And then now it's ass
is definitely in. And I think that's also because there are a lot of like really like cool hot like Black women who have like in the mainstream media who are like getting that attention, and I think that's like great for them. But I think my problem with the BBL is not like the fact that they're making their butts bigger or whatever, it's like the fact that you have to extract the fat from somewhere else and put it in the butt.
Yeah, it's so dangerous.
And I think it's also like that is totally a way for someone who like wants a big butt but is like a thin person to like get kind of go down, not like, it's not like getting a boob job where you suck it out of your stomach and stick it into your boobs. Like that's not what a boob job is, you know. It's not like just an addition of something. It's also like the removal of something else, which I think is just like you get into like a very strange territory there. But
yes, I had no idea how dangerous it was. Mm-hmm. Until like, yeah, it became super popular. And yeah. One of my roommate's friends got one, and her ass looks amazing, but like,
yeah,
she was sending her recovery pictures and it was gruesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus, I don't, I can't sit? I'll take my little ass.
Could she like,
no,
sit?
No, she had to like lay on her back. No.
Oh man.
She had to just lay. She like couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. I'm like, oh my God, that's scary as fuck.
Yeah. I'm also like wondering, like, this is a fairly new procedure. What happens to it? Cause it's not like an implant, it's a fat transfer. Like what happens to it in a few years when the rest of your body like starts metabolizing fat in a different way? Like what happens to that? Does it still like take up the same shape, or does it like turn into something else? Does it just like stop, like break it down? Can you lose it? Can you lose the fat that you got implanted?
I wonder how it's going to look when they're like 80 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it'll still be like a classic saggy butt. Cause it's not I don't know, but I think it'll be it'll be an interesting thing to see for sure. Yeah. Plastic surgery terrifies me like that intensive plastic surgery. Also a butt, you can totally, it's a lot of work, but you could totally get one if you work for it.
It doesn't take like 6 months like hardcore in the gym, and then you can get like a fat ass.
Yeah, I mean like you have to work hard for it, and you have to eat a like well for it, but you can do it. And it, you might not get like the BBL butt, but you know, right before the pandemic started, I had the best butt of my life because I was really working out for it. And then the pandemic happened and now I don't have an ass anymore, but you know,
but you had it for a second.
I did. And I know it's possible what you can do with hip thrusts and squats and deadlifts. So, you know, not to be like a life of the grind kind of guy, but you can do it. I believe in all of you. So yeah. So the third would you rather. So following the reveal that Chrissy Teigen had intensely bullied Courtney Stodden and even told them to die, Chrissy has exited the internet, but is still managing to whine about it loud enough for all of us to hear. Someone I feel bad for is John Legend, who's probably hearing this whining 24/7, but sources say this scandal has put their marriage on the rocks. Would you rather be publicly canceled for something mild, or be deep in the inner circle of someone who got like extremely, extremely canceled, exited from society and have to like still be a part of, you know, try to be part of society and also try to be a part of the inner circle of this person who's canceled?
Ooh.
So like, would you rather be Nick Cannon or John Legend?
You know what? I'm going to go... Fuck, they both seem to be living their lives okay. I do feel like John Legend's is more annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but damn, I'm gonna go Nick Cannon on this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go canceled for something that is bad, but not bad enough to be like completely.
Like,
you know,
yeah, I think so too. I think like I would just take a couple weeks off. I'd come back, I'd apologize, take a couple weeks off, come back, have reflected on what I'd done and make sure I, you know, worked on it, whatever. But John Legend, imagine if this man ever writes a love song about Chrissy Teigen again, it's not going to go well. Like, are people going to say? People really like him.
It's really amazing how much people like him and they just don't even, I don't know. I mean, not that I've seen. I feel like people don't drag him really for the Chrissy thing.
It feels kind of like on a smaller scale, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, where like people really don't like her, but he's like such a sweet boy. So it like is good PR for her. But now Chrissy Teigen has kind of, it's gone too far. And
she needs to stop crying about it, and she needs to like make herself like, she needs to learn how to joke about herself because she's making it way too serious.
And yeah,
like, there's always gonna be trolls, it's the fucking internet, like hello.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just ride with it.
Yeah, I think also because she dishes it out but she can't take it, so mm-hmm. It's you can't be mean and sensitive, you know, pick one.
Exactly,
you gotta pick one. Yeah, I would rather be Nick Cannon too. I think that also it's like being on the internet so much, like everyone's had some sort of thing where like people came after them and we've, you know, I haven't been, you know, truly canceled, but I have been, you know, I once tweeted that Taylor Swift was depression light, and some Taylor Swift fan, I got a bunch of like death threats from Taylor Swift fans. And someone like it had reached the Swifties, and then someone commented and was like, I've been committed twice and I love Taylor Swift. This is really ableist of you to say something like this. And I don't dislike her music either. Like I was just like, and it was a lot.
Well, see, with that, that is a classic example of like too many people can voice their opinions now and it's dark. It's like,
yeah,
you know, we like, you know, we're entertainers, so that's okay for us. But then when you get the regulars on there, like, hey, well, I was actually in the psych ward. Okay, cool.
Oh yeah. My God.
Like, I don't, people get so angry. Someone tried to like drag me, or I guess they did drag me. They weren't even like around where I was, but mm-hmm. I was out of town doing a show. And like you know, when you're doing stand up and people bring you on stage, oftentimes the host will just either make something up or just like just kind of say whatever they want just to like yeah. make the crowd give a fuck about you. Mm-hmm. And I had given my credit and the host was like, well, no one really, because it was, I was like, I was on an episode of Laugh Tracks on True TV and then I white knuckle that credit. I'm like, that's my one credit.
And
I gave it and the host was like, no, like no one knows what that is. I was like, all right. He's like, have you ever performed at the Comedy Store? I was like, yeah, I have. And he's like, okay, I'll just say that. So I'm like, okay, whatever. What is this? Like 1980, whatever.
Yeah.
So he gets up there. He says that there was two comics in the green room that heard this whole, you know, conversation. Mm-hmm. And I do my set, go back in. I'm being nice. We're all, you know, I did well. We're having fun. Next thing I know, 2 hours later, this guy who wasn't even in San Diego, he's like up in LA, mm-hmm. starts like retweeting tweets of me, like from like a year ago, where I like, I guess I had talked shit on the Comedy Store. It was in a joke, but whatever. And he's like, you can't disrespect the place that you, you know, that you're using for a credit. Fuck you. Eh. And then like, he's like just dragging me to filth. Come to find out, he's just mad because I guess he had some show with like Chris D'Elia that got canceled. And I was like, you're not even mad at me, bitch. You're mad that you like linked up with an unsuccessful raper. It's like, get away from me.
Yeah. Oh man.
I was like really embarrassed when it was happening, but then I was like, oh, it doesn't actually matter.
That's the funniest thing to like come after you for is having said negative things about the Comedy Store. I thought you were going to say like having said negative things about like some kind of person or... No, to have negative feelings about the Comedy Store and be like faux canceled for that, because you're using that as a credit and it's too good. It's too good. I once got canceled.
I know. I was like, wait, is this actually happening?
Once on Thanksgiving, I posted a picture of myself with the caption. Like I was like wearing nice clothes and the caption was like, my family hasn't eaten dinner yet. Cause I was just like sitting around waiting for them to get downstairs so we could eat. And I just like was tweeted this picture and this guy replies, he's like, you've never missed a meal in your life. And I thought he was body shaming me. And I was like, huh? And then he was like, no, like you like are dressed in designer clothes and you're dripping in opulence and you like, you think you're better than everyone else because like you
this.
And I was like, where is this coming from? And he's like, look at that shirt you're wearing, it must be more than $200. Like this thing is from H&M, bitch, like I don't know what you're talking about. It was just so weird. It was just very weird. People really just, I don't know where they get these things from, but
it's like deep ass insecurity. And then they just are like, oh, I know how I'll feel better. I'm like, okay, you keyboard warrior, like you're being a digital diva, settle down.
When people find old tweets of other people's, I always like seeing them because it's like tea, but I'm like, whoever dug this up was really going through a lot of steps to find something negative about someone.
Exactly. That's work. I feel like it's more embarrassing for the person digging them up. I've seen some pretty bad ones on Twitter, but I'm like, we're judging someone for what they said, you know, a decade ago or more or something. I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like everyone has said, not like necessarily like to the lengths of these, because some tweets are really fucked up. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying to that extent, but I'm like, we've all said shit that we obviously regret, or like, oh yeah, I was stupid, I was making a dumb joke that was okay for this time, but it's not okay anymore.
Yeah.
And obviously like it's great that you've changed with it, but I'm like,
yeah,
what do you like, you know?
Yeah.
If the person's already grown from it, like what are you expecting?
I was going through my old tweets recently because I was like, fuck, I don't want someone to like, I don't want to have a tweet where I know now that it isn't kosher, but at the time it was. And I didn't want to like have any of those up still. So I like went back and I looked, and truly like the worst tweets I could find were just like me. I think it seemed very like fetishizing queer men, but I was just like, why is every boy I like gay? Like, why can't I find a straight one? Like, I don't know why it won't work. I just find gay boys. That was like my entire Twitter for until like 2017. So,
honestly, that's harmless though. I was like, I think the worst ones for me were like, apparently I had like some like really like deep seated issues with Justin Bieber, and I was like kind of like a virtual, and I was reading them like, oh my God, what was I doing? Like, delete.
Yeah. I definitely was a bit more of a hater back then. So
Yeah. Well, it's like Twitter had just came out. Like, we're like figuring it out, and you're kind of like, oh, I can just kind of say whatever on here.
Yeah.
But yeah. Then, like, you kind of like grow out of it. And then you like amass a following, and you're like, okay, I don't need to be tweeting my hate shit, you know?
Even things I've tweeted like 6 months ago, I'm like, that was a weird opinion.
Yeah. That I had. Completely.
And yeah. I also think like context really matters. Like, there's things that I could say in stand-up maybe that I couldn't do on Twitter.
That is okay. Oh my God, girl. That is something that I had to learn the hard way as well. Okay, so I made this joke. It was like this ongoing joke about me, like, I can't remember if I was tweeting about, in my stand-up, I joke about kissing my cousin, but not making out, just a kiss. Okay. But but on Twitter, I was trying to take that to Twitter. I was like, oh, maybe it'll translate. And so I was trying to tweet about that. And I was like, I was just making all these incest jokes. And then I started getting all these DMs from like Christian people and from like older white women in like the Midwest that were like, what the hell? What the heck are you tweeting
you
about?
Can
like,
you can, there's a game called a fuck marry kill on this. You can swear as much as you want.
No, I'm saying, but for them, like, they wouldn't curse. I was trying to stay true. Oh, okay. To their, but my favorite word is cunt, so here we go. No, but it was just so wild that everyone was like getting so mad, and like so many people were like, I can't believe you actually did, you know what, I used to like your comedy, but now that I know you're like that, I'm unfollowed. And I'm like, oh shit, like, no, I actually am not hooking up with my family members, so I'll delete these. Okay, I'll just stick that on stage. Here we go.
It's, you know, you're not doing that, but you were dating a guy whose mom you look just like. So,
yeah, that is true. It was like incest adjacent.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Like a pawn in his incestual.
Yeah. I knew this girl in college who every single one of her profile pictures on Facebook back to like the year 2011 is a picture of her and her brother, like, way too intimately.
Oh, fuck no.
Okay.
As someone who is best friends with their sibling, like, my brother and I, super close, he purposely moved a mile away from me so we can hang out all the time. Mm-hmm. We have so much fun. Here's the thing, though. I would never in my fucking life ever just go and go cuddle up to him. That is like a special type. And I make incest jokes, and that's even too much for me. That's like sick.
Like, I would hug. That's
girl, a hug in the beginning, a hug in the at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, but
yeah.
I'm like, ew.
When she's like looking up at him like this and he's looking down at her like this. Yeah.
That's a truly sickening development. Thank you so much for showing me that.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
So feel free to keep that audio in, but I don't want the video and I don't wanna expose this girl. To
we do need to keep her anonymous.
She have doesn't need more trouble.
No, because no. But have you seen, I think it's like that Instagram account, Siblings Are Dating?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's good. It is good. Okay, truth or dare?
Truth.
If you could have a threesome with any two celebrities, who would you choose and why?
Ooh, okay. Zoe Kravitz and Kid Cudi. And here's why. Zoe Kravitz, okay, well, number one, I've had a crush on both of them for a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. Number two, Kid Cudi, he just has like this like darkness in him, and usually people that have like this like deep-rooted depression are kind of freaks, and so I really want to see what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zoe Kravitz, I just think is just breathtakingly beautiful. I love her work, and she just seems really cool.
Yeah, anyone who wouldn't fuck Zoe Kravitz or Rihanna, I think something's wrong.
Something's very deeply wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the dynamic would be between you, Zoe Kravitz, and Kid Cudi there?
That's a really interesting question. I think the dynamic. Honestly, I really feel like Zoe and I would be the ones like kind of like taking charge in that. Like we would be kind of like going off on somebody.
Okay, that sounds hot. That sounds hot.
Yeah.
I hope it happens for you someday.
I'm gonna just speaking it out loud. You know, she went through a
manifesting
breakup, so
manifesting.
Here we go. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yamini, truth or dare?
I'll start with the truth as well.
Okay. What's the biggest lie you've ever told in a relationship?
In a relationship?
That could even be, you can interpret relationship however you want, like with romantic, friend, family.
I feel like I was really good at pretending to like the gifts that one of my ex gave me when they were all like really horrible things. That's not really big, but it was an acting exercise.
That's not big, but that's a good thing to be able to lie about.
Also like liking one of my ex's friends, I lied about that. Like I hated most of them. And I just like that kind of stuff. Yeah. But that's also like on me for like, I willingly put myself into those situations for like fun, where I kind of like hated everything about their lives, but I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's fun to like mix it up with something that we hate.
Yeah. And it's like, I didn't even hate the exes. I just like hated their world. And I was like, I'm realizing lately that I'm historically have been a fixer, and this is my first relationship where I'm not the fixer specifically. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to have someone to like that doing it to you. Not in like a negative way. It's just like, I was like, whoa, that's insane. I'm like, it's a break from trying to make people better people. And then I should amend that statement. This is the first relationship I've been in where I'm not like objectively a much morally better person than the other person. You know,
I love that though. It's a more even playing field.
Yeah, I've always been like, yeah, I'm like just you're not as good of a person as me, and I just knew that. And now I'm like, whoa, like this is crazy. Like you have values that you care about. So
I feel like also when we date pieces of shit, it's kind of you're like even though it's a thrill because they're assholes, you're honestly playing it safe because like you know it's deep down, you know it's not going to work out, and also you can always trust on them to be pieces of shit. But then when you date an actual like a good person, there's more at stake because then you can develop like deeper real feelings,
and you have to work harder. Yeah and you have to acknowledge more faults in yourself. That was the nice thing about dating these people, is that I could always just be like, yeah, they're bad people. Like, I'm a good person, though. Like, they're doing everything wrong. It's all their fault.
Stay safe, though, but I'm good.
Exactly. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't think that was really an answer to your question, but that's how I'm going to put it.
But we got deep, and I like that. No,
okay.
That was...
Okay, truth or dare?
Okay, fuck, dare.
Okay, do you have, like, access to water?
I do.
Can you like take a couple sips of water, not swallow, and then try to hum All Star by Smash Mouth with the water?
Let's see. Let's see. 1 second. Let me get it. I just had to swallow it because I forgot the song. I just got stressed out.
All Star by Smash Mouth. Hey now.
Okay.
Hey,
oh my God. Star. Now I need to get more water. 1 second.
Okay.
Okay.
That's like a liquid chubby bunny.
I know. I was like, wow, I was like afraid it was gonna come pouring out, but here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Truth or dare?
Dare.
Okay. Are you ready? I dare you to prank call Niles.
I had a dare about you prank calling Niles too written, but I can do it. Okay, what should I say?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what annoys him. You could say that his special just got removed from his YouTube channel. You could say, you could pretend to be like an internet fan that found his number. You could.
I like that one. I like that one. Okay, wait. I'm going to have to. Okay. It's star 67 to be random, right?
It really is. Yeah.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Okay, so I don't know if this is correct or not, but I am. If this is Niles Avston from Girls Don't Twerk to Jokes, I'm a huge, huge fan of you. I don't live in California or any of the places you're going on tour, but I hope one day you come to South Dakota because you have a dedicated fan here. And if this is you, hi. I hope that you enjoy the sound of my voice, and I hope you're having an amazing day and smoking some good weed or whatever you do out there in Los Angeles. Okay, you rock. Bye.
Oh my God. He's gonna believe it because it's Niles. He's gonna believe it. He's gonna be like, yeah, this girl called, he's obsessed with me. I don't know. And it was real too. Yeah.
Well,
I'm dead. You killed it. You killed it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Do you want to do one final round?
Yes.
Okay. Truth or dare?
Truth.
What's the most embarrassing app you have on your phone?
Oh, girl. Okay. I have.
For a long time, I would tell you that mine was the Kim Kardashian game because I did play that.
Okay. This is kind of sickening. So I'm sorry that I'm even saying this out loud, but the most embarrassing app that I think I have on my phone, I think it's a tie between Threads for Instagram that makes captions and Raya. Both are kind of like low points for different reasons.
I think Threads is good because it's at least accessibility.
Okay.
You know, because it'll like it does the captioning things. And So I think, yeah. But have you spotted anyone wild on Raya?
This like French DJ that screwed over my friend when we were in our early 20s mm-hmm. actually hit me up on there. And at first I was like talking to him because I didn't remember who he was. And he's like, you look so familiar. I'm like, you do too. And then we realized how we knew each other. And then I like just X'd out. I was like, nope, no, no, no. And then I had to open the app. It stressed me out. I was like, oh my God, there's darkness on that app.
Congrats on making it through the wait list. Is that how did you?
Thank you.
How was your process of getting in? I hear a lot of, you know, applicants. I hear about a lot of applicants, but I don't hear that many stories of people who got in. So congrats.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It is my shine. Maybe it's my new credit. I did get into Raya it only took 12 hours. So, okay.
Whoa.
Okay. But the second I did get in, I said, you know what? No offense, but I don't even want to be here. So that's kind of how I'm feeling.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's a symbol of success to have gotten in, and that's all you need maybe. So
I just did it for the challenge. I made it. So I said, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I can't stand about dating apps? Just a key part of dating apps is taking pictures of yourself.
Yeah.
That it really me
same
I can't do it. I can't, like, I get so in my head. I'm like, no, this one makes me look like a librarian, this one makes me look like I serve pizza, blah, 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 blah. Like,
I have no idea like which pictures of myself are like the most representative of me, and all my friends tell me that every single picture of me looks like a different person, so I don't know.
I get that too. They're like, oh, well, this looks completely different. You're giving off too many, you know. And then, okay, so some of my guy friends looked at my pictures and they were like, why do you have pictures of yourself doing stand-up? Like, one is the max and you shouldn't even have that. And I'm like, oh, why? I like this picture of me. Like,
yeah.
Because guys don't give a fuck. And honestly, girls don't give a fuck about seeing that. Like, no one wants to see you doing it. I'm like, oh my God, relax. And then that also stressed me out. I'm like, okay, being perceived is already enough of a chore on all the other apps we're on. I can't throw another one into the mix.
I when I was on dating apps, had a picture of me doing stand-up as well. And I went on a date with this guy and he spent an hour asking me to rate and review his impressions because he was like, you're a funny person. I'm sure you'll be able to tell me if I have what it takes. And then he did like 20 terrible impressions of like Mickey Mouse and like George Bush and just like the most random people. So I do think that is kind of dangerous to implicate yourself in comedy involvement. So,
yeah. No, I see that now. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like, but sometimes I kind of like putting it out there because it kind of like weeds out the annoying people. But like when like specifically with guys, whenever I think when girls find out that I do stand up, it's kind of like whatever. But mm-hmm. when guys find out, it's like they take it as like a challenge, like, oh yeah. Oh, you do stand. Oh, so you think you're funny. Yeah. And I'm like, don't hit me. Like, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very weird. It's very weird out there, but yeah.
How was your show you just did with Niles?
It was fun. It was really fun.
It looked really pretty.
Yeah, like, it was
the backdrop.
I got a nice picture from that. So it was fun. It was the funniest part of it was that it was like a show, an anti-racist show that the audience was like 90% blonde people.
Oh, that, all right.
Know, that was like the funniest part of it. And I also was like, I count one other black person in this space, and he looks like he only talks to white people. But it was fun. It was like a backyard show and there was like hard kombucha. And so that was always a good time. But
that's fun.
Yeah.
Is it safe to drink a lot of hard kombucha?
Because I know
it's like regular, you're supposed to just drink like one of those things. And then when it's like with alcohol, I'm like, are you allowed to like get fucked up on those? I feel like it's just, do the same rules apply?
I don't know. I think like you probably shouldn't. I can only drink like one without getting a headache. Like it's like the something about it is not very good for my head, but they taste good. So
yeah,
I don't know. And a lot
okay,
of
wait, do I need to do, we need to do one more truth or dare for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Truth or dare.
I'll do another dare.
Okay. I was hoping you would say that. If you're comfortable, I think it would be really funny if right now you tweeted out, or maybe like when the episode drops, whenever you're ready, I think it'd be really funny if you tweeted out a pro Chrissy tweet.
I'll do it now. What should I say?
Retweet it. You should just be like, let me think.
Chrissy Teigen is a girl boss and we shouldn't be silencing girl bosses. That's
yes. And to attack Chrissy is anti-feminist. Really like go hard with it.
Who's like, what's a good feminist book? Like The Second Sex?
Yeah. Chrissy Teigen is a girl boss, and to be against a girl boss is anti-feminist. Did you guys read? Yes! Yes!
Okay. Oh, she's out there.
That was so brave.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a lot of courage, I think.
You do. That was huge.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I had such a good time.
Thank you so much for having me. So did I.
If you have anything, any last words that you really want the listeners to know and feel and hear, now's your chance to share.
Okay, something I just really want to just, I know we talked about it a lot, but just something, just one last thing, if I could just plug this. I do not actually condone incest, and my family and I do not touch. So just wanted to put that out there for everyone.
Thank you so much for clearing that up. We were all very confused before. Yeah. A lot of people sent me DMs and they said, you're interviewing her. Like, you got to get to the bottom of this. So
yeah, they're like,
I'm glad we cleared it up. Yeah. Well,
now my name is clear.
No incest here. You guys heard it here first. So thank you so much for listening. I'll see you guys all next time. Bye.
Hosted on dimlywit.com.
Follow Big Comedy on social media at I Love Big Comedy.